All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, talking to you from the borough of Queens here in New York City. It is the 22nd day of February, 2022. I do want to take this opportunity to wish my very good friend, Dr. Alan Trefiasen, a happy 66th birthday today. Alan, who is an economist with the City of New York, is celebrating this day after a serious bout with leukemia. By the grace of God, who gifted us with amazing doctors and medical technology, Alan's health has been restored, and he continues to use his gifts to serve others in many different ways. So happy birthday, Alan. I want to thank all of you for listening to this show, making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. Also want to invite you to keep your questions and comments coming to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. Questions, the number for taylor@gmail.com. And I'd like to remind you that I write a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can sign up for that by going to miningstocks.com. I do cover a lot of very exciting exploration plays, some of which you hear about here on this show, many of which you do not hear about on this show. Very exciting times, and so we want to thank the sponsors for this show for making this show economically viable. Some of them, actually all of the sponsors are covered in my newsletter. I vet them first before I invite them to become sponsors, and then also, you know, pass the stories along to my readers and Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. But our sponsors for today's show: Irving Resources, Novo Resources, Firefox Gold, Timberline Resources, El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Lion One Metals, and SK Mining Corp. I've titled today's show, The Sovietization of America and What It Will Mean for Your Future. Dr. Yuri Maltsev visits for the first time. Quentin Henning and John Rubino return. Ron Paul once said in a GOP presidential debate that, quote, if we are free, we will be prosperous, end of quote. Yuri Maltsev understands that as well as anyone, having worked as an economist on behalf of the Soviet Union as president at that time, Gorbachev, and his perestroika reform package. In 1989, Yuri defected from the Soviet Union, not only because he knew the Soviet economic system was doomed, but for a much greater reason, namely freedom and liberty. Yuri witnessed firsthand how power-hungry politicians use propaganda to deceive people in order to grab power and wealth and deprive for themselves and deprive people of their natural human rights in the process. Yuri is not fooled by similar deceitful propaganda being displayed throughout the Western world these days, where just prior to COVID, at least, people remained relatively free to voice their views, their political views and their dissenting views. But that seems to be more troublesome these days in many parts of the Western world. As the natural rights and freedoms we as Americans have taken for granted are rapidly, at least seemingly, being stripped away, what will that mean not only for our personal wealth, but more importantly for our rights to live free and develop our personal talents and religious beliefs as our founding fathers willed for us? Those and more topics will be explored in the second half of today's show with Dr. Maltsev. Meantime, we don't want to retreat into a bunker only to miss opportunities to live life to its fullest, including recognizing investment opportunities staring us in the face. SK Mining, for one, is apparently on to a great new gold and silver discovery in British Columbia, and Dr. Quentin Henning will be with me right after our first commercial break to discuss the exploration progress that that company has made and reported early in January. In the mid-January, came out with some ton of different assays, and so we'll ask him about that. This is a project that is in the same belt of rocks as the famous Eskay Creek Mine, one of Canada's most famous mines, a volcanic massive sulfide deposit, and it looks as though the situation is really almost identical. Early exploration results are very, very encouraging in that regard. But right now I'm happy to tell you that John Rubino is with me. Thanks for joining me, John.
Hey, Jay. Great to be back.
You know, it's always good to have you with us. Now, you know, I peeked at your website at dollarcollapse.com. It's a wonderful website. But I've seen some changes that I really like. I think there's just an awful lot of great articles there. You've always had a lot of good articles, and I like to point people to one of my favorite things on your website has been your top 10 videos where people can go there, and my goodness, there's just a lot of really great talent and ideas, especially free market proponents there. But things seem to have changed a bit. Am I right about that?
Yeah, actually, things have changed quite a bit, and they'll go on changing for a while longer. Basically, now that the last few years have been kind of sleepy from the point of view of a gloom and doom website, right? It just
dollarcollapse.com.
The world has been sort of, I wouldn't say placid financially, but not a lot of crazy stuff has been happening. And lately, though, a lot of the predictions that are generally made within the sound money community about what's going to happen in the world, they've started to happen. So we're going to ramp up the content on dollarcollapse.com in line with the world getting crazier and crazier. So hopefully pretty soon the site will be a place that you can come back to multiple times during the day and find new content each time.
Mm-hmm. All right. What are your thoughts, John? Because I know as you're sifting through, one of the things I enjoy about my job is that I have a chance to review a lot of different people, a lot of different ideas. But what are what are your thoughts now after, because you have the ability as well to look at a lot of different stories that come your way, in terms of the economic picture right now? It was Danielle DiMartino Booth who said recently, and I think a lot of people are saying this, that the Fed needs to raise rates, but it can't. And it's sort of caught in a tough spot. What are your thoughts about which way things are going to go here? Because now we're seeing the equity markets come down pretty hard. Could this tailspin into some sort of a deflationary situation, or might it go the other direction? How are you betting?
It can go in a lot of different directions, all of them bad. My take is that we're screwing up on multiple levels right now. You know, we spent the last 30 or 40 years bailing out everybody in sight, allowing the big banks to take on insane amounts of risk and creating huge amounts of new currency in order to finance the whole mess, which is now finally leading to the kinds of inflation that Economics 101 kind of said should have happened already. You know, we've had inflation, but it's been very narrowly focused in stocks, bonds, and real estate. Now it's spreading out into life's necessities. People are starting to notice, and they're behaving accordingly. You know, there are bidding wars in houses right now, and you have to pay over sticker price to buy a new car. It just goes on and on. And that's extremely destabilizing. Meanwhile, in geopolitics, we're making some really, really boneheaded mistakes out there, in the U.S. in particular. Mm-hmm. It seems that we're picking fights with almost everybody in the world, and that is also extremely destabilizing. Right now, oil is not far from $100 a barrel. With no real end in sight if we're going to start sanctioning Russia, right, or intervening in Ukraine, or picking a fight with China over Taiwan, or any number of other things that we're involved in right now. So the financial markets and the geopolitical system are on the verge of entering into kind of a doom loop where, you know, a feedback loop where each makes the other worse in turn until we just kind of spiral out of control. And I think we're in the early stages of that. And I think it going on longer is very, very possible going forward.
Mm-hmm. Interesting though, there's still some deflationists around. I was watching a video with Lacey Hunt. I don't know if you happened to see it. Our friend at Wealthion interviewed Lacey Hunt. Are you familiar with his work at all?
I am. I watched the interview. Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I think see massive amounts of debt. That's inherently deflationary because debt requires interest and it inhibits future borrowing, and in other words, it slows the system down. You get less growth than you would have otherwise, and we've taken on absolutely incredible amounts of debt in the last 30 or 40 years, and that's deflationary. You've got all this bad paper out there just waiting to blow up and send us back into a 1930s style depression. At the same time, every central bank in the world is armed with an unlimited printing press, and they're able to create a lot of new currency to lean against the inherently deflationary forces that that are at work now with this mountain of debt that we've got. So we've got these two titanic forces out there, and it's completely possible that the deflationary side of the debt bubble is the thing that dominates in the next few years. I think eventually, you know, since it's just play money, central banks can basically type in whatever number they want, hit send, and that's how much new money is created in the financial system. Eventually, they will respond to any kind of a hint of deflation with massive new money printing, and eventually we'll get a currency crisis, which will manifest as raging inflation, and will lead to some kind of a monetary reset. In between here and there, though, we could easily have some serious bouts of deflation where the debt problems get out of control and prices actually start to fall, but it's all from the same mismanagement. You get instability, which can be to the upside or the downside when you borrow way too much money. And that's just where we are now.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Looking at Lacey Hunt's arguments, he talks about low rates, and that leads to the inability for lenders to price risk into their pricing. They can't price risk because there's no room when you have 2% interest rates, and so that leads then to a decline in velocity. And he shows that over the decades, this massive amount of money creation and suppression of interest rates, how it has really damaged and slowed down the economic potential of a country. And he makes a very good argument for it. On the other hand, as you say, when things really come unglued, can you imagine if we have massive unemployment and inflation at the same time? What are these guys going to do? I think you're right. It's play money. They'll just start printing, or we'll have a dollar collapse, John. That's your website, dollar collapse. At some point in time, there will be a reset, right?
Yeah, I think that's out there because, yes, central banks aren't going to let a deflationary depression happen because they're blamed for it when it happens, right? They become the Herbert Hoovers of this generation. We remember them 100 years later as the guys who screwed up the best economy ever. They won't let that happen, and they don't have to let that happen because they have an unlimited printing press. The inflationary spiral that is possible, theoretically, from that could happen when people see the price of things that they need day to day start going up. And so they decide just to, instead of buying it each month, whatever it is they need, they just buy all of it right away for the next year. And that sends prices up even further, which panics more people. And then workers start demanding higher wages, and they get higher wages because companies have no choice. And so you get a wage price spiral that that can easily spin out of control. But, I think Lacey Hunt is definitely right that the plunging velocity of money is both the reason we haven't had raging inflation up till now and a very big danger going forward. This is kind of uncharted territory. I mean, in one sense, countries have screwed up their currencies and had currency crises with high inflation over and over again. But we've never done it globally before. This is the first time everybody's made this kind of a mistake at the same time. So. The global nature of this is kind of a wild card. It makes it hard to predict with any kind of certainty what's going to happen. But, I think volatility and instability are the things you absolutely can predict with certainty. Just how they manifest is yet to be seen.
Yeah. Well, one thing we can say is that gold mining companies have done extremely well in deflationary environments, the 1930s being a case in point, some other minor periods of time as well. And that's true because the profits If the cost of getting the gold out of the ground is lower because of deflation. But right now we're seeing the opposite, of course. We're seeing a lot of oil prices and, you know, cost of materials going up very dramatically. So if it's that kind of a, you know, it's a financial, the air comes out of the financial bubbles, which is where we've had most of the inflation. It's been in the financial world, reallocating wealth to the few, small number of people that are becoming filthy rich. And so, you know, if it's that kind of a deflation of financial assets, but we still see rise in commodities and so forth, that's another picture. But John, we really are out of time now, but I want to thank you for interviewing me. We had a nice discussion, you and I, and I guess it's going to be posted on your website. It was a video that we did. I named five companies that I think are candidates for the next great bear type of gains. Amex Exploration, Benchmark Metals, El Oro Resources, Lion One Metals, and Newfound Gold were five that I picked, mostly because they're more advanced in the amount of work that's been done so far. But what are your thoughts? I mean, you're pretty bullish on this sector as well, I think, right?
Oh, I absolutely am. I think the junior miners, the high quality junior miners, have a chance to make outrageous gains in the next few years. You know, Great Bear, which you mentioned, went up 50 times from from its early price to where it just got taken out. And, you know, that's a lot to hope for in our other junior miner investments. But there are 10 baggers, potential 10 baggers out there all over the place. So I think in the next few years, the junior mining sector will be one of the bright spots in an otherwise chaotic market.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, we'll have to leave it go at that. But I guess that video will be posted at Dollar Collapse at some time in the future, and we'll let our listeners know about that when that happens.
Yes.
All right. All right, folks. Well, we do have to go now, but don't go away because Dr. Quentin Henning will be with us to talk about one of those that didn't make that list of five, of those that I think are Great Bear-like potential. But I think SK Mining definitely is one that should be perhaps in that discussion. And we'll talk to Quentin Henning right after the break, so don't go away.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barikoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQB, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.